McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, K104 listeners, and thank you for joining us again. It's Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and me. I'm Frankenberry, and thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. Good morning, ladies. How are we all doing?
Hey!
Thank you.
Who wants to explain to our listeners that's our little
one of you guys can do that.
Okay, well, when usually Jonna hops on first and then Carol hops on, but Carol, when she hops on to Zoom before we start recording, will wait for one of us to say hi, Carol, and then she will jump in with go ahead, Carol.
Hey. Every week.
It stupidly makes us crack up.
Yeah, and these two, every time all three of us laugh.
Exactly. We know it's coming. We know it's coming, but we like call it out of her. Like we wait for like, here you go. We tee it up and then we start cracking up like three amigos.
Exactly. It's like that third segment where I say hello, ladies, and I wait to see if you guys can time it right or not. We've been doing that for how many years?
Oh, you know what? So here's what we can call ourselves, not morons or idiots. I was watching, I have a friend whose heritage is Irish, and he was telling me that his aunt calls him and his cousin Egits. you're being effing Egits, which I think is like a slang for idiot.
It is.
So
yes.
I was watching, I used to pick on people, but I'm going to out myself, a Hallmark movie. Christmas movie. Yes, they finally got me.
That's okay.
God.
Yep. That's okay. I'm okay with my Hallmark flaw, if you want to call it that. But I was watching one. Actually, I had Brooke Shields in it. And it supposedly took place in Scotland. And a few times during the movie, he's like, what do you think I am, an Egypt? I'm like, oh, my God. So we can be Egypts for laughing at ourselves at something so dumb every week. Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. And that's actually, one of the nicer things that's been said about me over my lifetime. So, much appreciated.
Jonna, add that to your bio, okay?
Oh, that I'm an idiot?
Part-time idiot. Egypt.
I could swear it's pronounced Egypt, but between now and next week, we'll get that figured out because it's going to keep me up at night. Speaking of keeping me up at night, before we launch in, I got it. So today, we're as people know, like, we don't get up at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning and record this and go live because we do like to sleep, the three of us, sometimes.
Exactly.
So we record this during the week, and I happened to be at my house recording today just because I had other things to do from here, Skype into TV and stuff. And I'm staring out at my deck as we record this, and it looks like the cops came and executed a search warrant and then left. Like every piece of furniture on my deck is upside down, topsy turvy, not where it's supposed to be, up against my house. It's ridiculous because for the second time in a week, I seriously think we got a little tornado action.
Oh, maybe another microburst. Yeah. Oh, twice in the last week out of nowhere and crazy wind. Yeah.
A few nights ago, I swear to God, I opened up my window and I saw, you know, old women on bicycles and I saw cows flying by. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, right. And monkeys, me too.
Cows flying by.
So I was actually recording with my phone last night. The wind was so loud that you could hear it when I was laying in bed and it was like, I was outside, and then I got up in the morning, and this was kind of the funny thing. So all the furniture's all over the place, but one of I have these rocking chairs on the deck, and one of them had totally turned itself around and smashed up against one of my sliding glass doors facing in. Like I had a ghost just rocking and looking in my house all night.
Who wanted a front row seat to whatever you had going on. Yeah.
And it's literally 15 feet away from where that rocking chair started out before the tornado. Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Maybe Mother Nature's being an agent.
She is definitely being an idiot. I'm going with idiot.
No, I'm going with the fact that Mother Nature just wants to kick our ass. So that's fine.
Man, oh man, I just don't remember in winter having that kind of, like, you kind of associate that windy stuff with spring, summer. I don't know. But we did have a solar eclipse, so maybe that had something to do with it too.
Oh, we did?
You didn't know? You didn't know anything go wrong in your life? Oh, no, wait, maybe your solar eclipse was the opposite. Like, you had things go right. That's lucky.
I did have a couple of things go right this week, yes.
You did, and that's good. How's everybody's Christmas shopping going? Speaking of things going, I mean, we're really coming down to the wire now.
Well, I decided this year, first of all, I mean, I never have a lot of money. Everybody knows that. But I decided this year, I'm going to go to just one website. Everybody's going to get something on my list. I got about maybe 12 folks. Everybody's getting something from this one website because I'm going to spend all my money in one spot and a spot that helps out animal welfare groups.
That's awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's a website, in case anybody is curious, called armtheanimals.com. And it's just got some really cool t-shirts and some other things, some other merchandise. So I've decided that's what I'm doing. I'm ordering everything from one website that's going to help out the animals.
That's perfect. I got half that formula. I'm ordering from one website. Doesn't have the animal. You think?
That's so funny that you mentioned that, because this week I was doing some shopping too, and I remember you had mentioned that to me, Frank and Barry, but I was shopping for Mama Chewy, who our listeners should know is Carol's mom. And Carol, I hope I can say this. So,
She listens to every show. So just.
Oh, good. She's not hard to buy for, but you said, I'm like, what should I get her this year? Because, I kind of get her the same stuff every year. I asked you if she liked tea, blah, blah. And you basically just said, she's always cold. And she's always cold and she loves her cats. Two things that I pretty much knew. So I tip tap away on my computer and I found a website, Frank and Barry, that donates food to animal shelters for every purchase. So I bought something from this website and I'll tell you what it's called in case anybody's interested. It's called greatergood.com. And because of what I purchased for Mama Chewy this year, we are feeding, me and Mama Chewy, 71 shelter animals.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. I might have to visit that myself for Mama Chewy as well.
Yeah, I just love it. And actually, they have a lot of different things on there and the prices were very reasonable. And of course, when you know your money is going hopefully to a great place, especially animals, the three of us love animals. Mm-hmm. It just makes it even that much better.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely on the rewarding side.
Do you remember the days that you used to actually have to go out of the house and get in a car and go to a store?
Hey, come on. I put those behind me.
Seriously, think back a few years before like Amazon and internet shopping and oh my gosh.
Oh, remember when Black Friday was just a nightmare?
Oh, it still is. I'd rather pay more and not deal with it.
I think I'm ahead of my time because way before a pandemic, I took myself out of the public shopping arena. Just because, like, I don't know. I don't like crowds. I don't like people. I don't like waiting in line. I don't like touching clothes that other people have touched, like, right before me, even though I know, don't say it. When I order clothing, I'm sure a million other people had their armpits in my armpits, whatever, but I don't have to see it.
You don't have to breathe other people's air.
Right.
Correct.
And that's important. That's important to me.
Though I will say, the one thing that I do miss when I, going back to Black Friday is not being quite as crazy as they used to is one thing that we used to do at Mix Up the Street was one of my favorite days of the year was when we would get a bunch of golf carts and we would go to the Poughkeepsie Galleria and we would go to Crystal Run and we would give people rides from their cars to the front door of the mall. You know, when they had to park like miles away because the parking lots were so full. Yeah. So basically I spent the entire day blowing off work and driving around in a golf cart.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I miss that because, I may not be the most social guy, but, nice quick hellos. Okay, now get away from me, go shop, and I'm back at it.
John, I know that one of your favorite things in the world is to be driven around in a car by someone else and drinking.
Yes!
Not that we've ever really done that, but
of course
I know that's on your bucket list. But Frankenberry just mentioned something pretty intriguing. Wouldn't it be kind of fun around the holiday season if he was driving our silly Egypt butts around in a golf cart with silly Christmas hats on and promoting our show?
Well, if he were doing it.
He was driving, but me and you were with him.
How are we going to stay warm? I mean, that's like almost camping, you know?
Oh, wait, I have an idea. Pick me.
Carol. Girl in the back.
Alcohol.
Ah, yes. That would definitely be helpful. But you know, we would need, and I don't know where it is. I'd have to find it. We would need the community Snuggie that you and I have.
Oh, God, who does have that?
Oh, God. I don't know. We got to find it.
And who started that?
You did.
I miss those commercials. Those were the worst commercials ever.
So, yeah, this is a trip back in time here. But a number of years ago, well, I guess it was me that started it. Put a Snuggie as a joke. You must have been making fun of it, Jonna. And then, so I bought one for you. And then I don't know how many years in a row after that, we just kept wrapping it up and giving it back to each other. until I don't know, whatever the fate of it. I probably gave it to my mother.
He is always cold, so that would make sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
Would make sense. Do you think they still make these Snuggies? I haven't seen a commercial in a long time.
I'm sure. I think they have a new name for them or something.
Yeah, I'm sure they still make them. But, you know, I mean, they can't.
It's a robe that you put on backwards. It's really.
And the commercials, Jonna, I mean, you saw them. It's really not sustainable because obviously they spent so much money on those commercials that they just couldn't keep it up.
Well, they made billions off the Snuggie.
They did that.
So here's the fatal flaw, I think, with the Snuggie, right? It's basically a backwards robe. So if you're laying down on the couch, you're snug and warm. But if you got to get up to go pee, does it feel like that? Like you're in the hospital gown with your hospital gown like wide open in the back, and then now all of a sudden you got the whole back is cold,
and your butt's hanging out, and you wonder why everybody's laughing at you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the idea. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think the idea is for you to lounge around in your Snuggie, like. Naked. I thought you put your jammies on and Snuggie on and then you know, so that you don't get a draft when you have to go.
No. Oh, it's so funny. I agree. And I think that is, but it's still the relative nature of having your blue jean butt on the couch, lots of warmth, you know, holding all the heat in, and then you get up and start walking around the house. You're still gonna feel a draft, even though it's not your bare butt.
That is a good point. And you just reminded me of something that I saw this week that I did want to complain about and almost totally forgot.
Oh, now, God. How did you forget a complaint?
Because listen,
what is happening? Listen, Linda,
I'm on overload. What can I say? Here's the thing. So you guys know I do that whole personal virtual shopping thing. And they get slick because after you check out or when you're, when you're reviewing an upcoming order, they'll give you a whole list of items and they'll say like, hey, do you want to add any of these, you know, like sort of like upsell. So I'm flipping through these items this week and there's a brand new, I have never seen this before. And I want to write the company and tell them that they are a bunch of Egypts. They're underwear. Now get this. Frankenberry is probably not going to relate. They are panties. Now, as women know and men, panties are panties. Panties are typically one piece. You pull them on. They're made of, you know, some sort of elastic. They don't have, I mean, they can be fancy with buckles and bells and stuff, but regular old panties. But these panties come with a bra type closure device on the side. So now instead of just easily pulling up a pair of panties and having no nothing to like dig into you, your skin, now you have the benefit of having an uncomfortable bra made into panties. Now, who in their right freaking mind, first of all, why is that necessary? Second of all, again, why is that necessary?
Egypts. That's an Egypt move if I ever heard it. And I just looked it up. Hang on.
You did?
Stand by. Yep. It's spelled E-E-J-I-T. It's Irish and Scottish form of idiot. Egypt, long E. But yeah, right, those well, designers are idiots. Who and why would ever?
Why would you make a pair of panties uncomfortable with a bra closure? And why do you need to put your panties on like a bra? Why can't you just pull them up like everybody else does and pull them off like everybody else does? Why do you need to be like, oh, let me see if I can use one hand to unsnap my panties? It's, I could see if maybe they were, you know, like if you go to a, if you were a stripper and you got to like quickly remove something, boom, boom, you do it that way. But these weren't even cool like that. These were just ugly tan panties, half bra, half panties. They were branties.
Branties.
Hey, Jonna, I just wanted to mention, by the way, that I have only one issue with this whole topic of conversation right now. And that is that you said Frankenberry probably won't be able to remove.
I missed that.
Okay. So let's amend that, Jonna, and drop that probably, please. Okay.
No, I'm not gonna. I stand behind it.
Oh,
and
my
what
gosh.
I mean is, I, Frankenberry, I don't think that you spend any time at all actually trying on women's panties. What I meant when I said that
was, you don't know anything about my Saturday nights. Thank you.
I know a little. I know that you sometimes spend them with stink bugs and definitely cats.
Yes.
But I do think you have experience putting on and taking off or working with bra snaps because most men do, especially younger men when they're trying to do it on the sly at the movie theater or whatever with one hand to their dates. Am I right or am I right?
Netflix really has squashed that little plan, hasn't it? Anywho.
It most certainly has.
Yes. Frankenberry. So yes, no?
Yes, no. Okay,
you
yes.
Yes.
Okay, fine. I have experience with such.
And then I did tell you guys, because sometimes I forget what we've talked about, but I remember when I told you about the chair, the massage chair at the nail salon that unhooks my bra every single time.
Yes. Yeah.
I finally said something to them. The last time I was there, it happened again.
No.
And so either I have to plan ahead and A, not wear a bra, which isn't happening, or B, wear a front closure type bra, which who plans like that, really? So I said to them, like, every time I am here and every time I'm in one of these chairs, no matter what I am wearing, my bra gets undone. And they just giggled and didn't care.
Oh. So that was an unproductive rant.
Yeah, it was totally.
You got to make it. I think you got to make it a habit of going braless, because I think that would be badass.
I don't know if I could ever do that. Oh. Don't you think it's a little soon for that to go? But it was a good one. It was a good one.
Okay, please explain to our audience.
Oh my God, I'm cracking myself up. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So, I kind of feel like I say this a lot, but one of our absolute favorite guests is coming back on the show. She is a big deal. Her name is Jen Sincero, and she is the author. If you read any kind of books at all, you'll be familiar with her of the Badass, You Were a Badass series. And she's been on the show a number of times. She's got You Are a Badass. She's got You Are a Badass at Making Money. And one of her books is just being released on paperback. And we've not yet had her on the show to talk to us about it. And it's called Badass Habits: Cultivate the Confidence, Boundaries, and Know-How to Upgrade Your Life. You're going to love this girl if you haven't heard her talk before. She gives great insight. She's very cool and funny. So when we come back, we will be talking to Jen Sincero.
Okay, that is what's in store for us. So please stick around and return with Jonna and Carol and myself. This is Happy Hour, and we'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again here to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And it's time now for our guest. And we have a return guest that I know, Carol, you're very excited about.
I'm gushing. I really am. Well, Jonna and I both, I mean, we're self-help groupies. And one of our favorite people who we love is Jen Sincero. She is a number one New York Times bestselling author, speaker, motivational cattle prod, who's helped countless people transform their personal and professional lives via her products, speaking engagements, newsletters, seminars, and books. Her number one New York Times bestseller, You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life, has been on the New York Times bestseller list for over 4.5 years and sold over 5 million copies worldwide. It's also available in 40 different languages. She also wrote a follow-up book to that, which is phenomenal. Also, her follow-up books are You Are a Badass at Making Money, Master the Mindset of Wealth, and a New York Times bestseller, You Are a Badass Every Day, and her most recent one, Badass Habits. They're all written in the same signature sass, down-to-earth humor, and blunt practicality that makes You Are a Badass a beloved bestseller. And Jen is a celebrated voice in the world of self-development. We love her. We are so excited. Welcome back to Happy Hour.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
So Jen, tell us, we're going to kind of focus on Badass Habits because that's just been recently released in paperback. Tell us how it's the angle for this book. Your advice is always insightful. Always your style of delivery is just warm and funny. But what makes this book a little bit of a different angle with sharing your insight with people? Tell us about why you wanted to write Badass Habits.
Well, I felt like my other books really, wrangled people into waking up to being aware to their negative thoughts and beliefs and gave them tips on how to change. And I thought the Habits book was such a no-brainer because it's time to put all that on autopilot and make it part of who you are. And I also was super excited because I'm a big fat nerd of including a 21-day, you do it like each page of the 21-day thing is like 1 or 2 pages so that you could have a really quick referencing while you are reading the book to like starting to get your habitual poop in a scoop and, really see results. I love me some results. So I was really excited about that. I was also really excited to write an entire chapter on boundaries because as I age, I am becoming such a badass at boundaries. So I really want to share that with the world.
And that could be an entire book in itself.
Almost was. And another thing.
Jen, this is Jonna. I was going to say that because I am listening to Badass Habits for the second time. And you are one of the authors that I always listen to multiple times because the first time around you get a lot and then the second time around you get even more. And so early on in the book you talk about boundaries and I'm like, holy crap, this is the secret to a sane and happy life,
right?
I mean, seriously. And you don't even realize that until you get a little bit mature and you realize just how wrong you were about not setting boundaries in the first half of your life.
Right. And especially us ladies, because we are trained to put everybody else's needs in front of ours. And my dad said the funniest thing is like, I don't know if you get older and wiser or just older and more tired. He's Italian. No. But and I'm like, it's so true. So anybody who's young listening to this, like you can get like the inside scoop early. And I highly recommend you do on the boundary thing. But as I get older, I just don't have the energy for the damn drama that automatically comes with having lousy boundaries. So I was really excited to share that info.
So since we've naturally gone this way, let's talk a little bit. If somebody's like, well, what does that mean? What are good boundaries? What are bad boundaries? Because they can go both ways.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there are, there's a million ways that you can screw up the boundary thing. But the three most common the number one most common, especially for the ladies, is saying yes when you want to say no, right? We do that all day long. But then there's also the boundary of saying no when you really want to say yes. That's another bad boundary. And then the third one that I talked about is being really controlling or allowing yourself to be really controlled. So, obviously I could indeed write an entire book on it, but those are the three that I focused on.
Jen, do you think that, because you also have, in case anybody is not aware, I love your story. It's kind of a rags to riches story. And I say that only with the utmost respect and love. Like, you talk about it in your books, how, you kind of were kind of broke for a while and then you found your lane and you just began to soar. And do you think that the more famous you got, like I think boundaries change. So the more famous you get, the different your boundaries need to become, but it's not just, you don't have boundaries just for famous people. Everybody can benefit from knowing where you want to set your boundaries.
God, that's such an amazing question because I am totally dealing with that. And absolutely, we all need them. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody needs good boundaries, but it is definitely become a much more prominent issue the more known I get. And it's good though. And I say it all the time. I'm so happy I didn't, you know, I'm not famous, but I have some little speck of celebrity. And I just don't know how people who are really young, who get really famous when they're young, handle it. Because I mean, it's no wonder to me, they're all, you know, a lot of them are in rehab. It's really,
well, yeah, like, no,
it's really hard to manage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. So as an older lady, I'm just so, so grateful that it happened the way it did, even though it was extremely frustrating being so broke for so long, but it definitely, I sort of see the plan and I am into it. So
it's an internal conflict for a lot of us. And I think depending on the generation you're born in, and yes, not, I mean, I don't think anybody's immune to having boundary challenges, but you're right. Women, even more so, you're trained to be good little girls, to be polite, mm-hmm. to be nice. And that's all well and good. But when you take that to an extreme where you're constantly putting other people's feelings, wants, and needs ahead of your own, you become exhausted, low self-worth, low self-esteem, right?
And you become resentful and passive aggressive. So I talk about this a lot in the book, how like you think you're doing everybody else a favor, but nobody benefits because then the relationship is screwed up because you're in such a bad mood all the time and you're exhausted. It's like nobody gets to rise to their greatest heights when you have bad boundaries. And I think that's, you know, that's the first thing I talk about is how you perceive it, right? So you think you'll be more liked. You think you're a better person if you, you know, throw yourself under the bus for everybody else. And it actually is really the opposite. And I think switching that mindset around what good boundaries actually mean and really seeing them as a benefit to everybody can really help you when it's, because it can be challenging to set good, strong ones, especially if you've always been really bad at it. You know, the people around you will be grouchy when you suddenly start putting yourself first. They will, but too bad.
But then you start building your own self-respect and that serves everybody.
Absolutely.
Better.
Yeah.
When you start doing that, I've told this story before on the show about boundaries that initially was a little bit challenging. And now it's my favorite thing in the world. So Sunday is my husband and my day. We do not make plans. We do not go out. People do not come over. I don't care how much I love you. And in the beginning that was a little bit awkward. I'm like, come on, please. I'm begging. I'm like, nope. This is our time. And now people have come, the people in our circle, family and friends, know it and respect it. And I think some of them are a little bit envious. Mm-hmm. I love it. I wouldn't change it for a thing.
That is so excellent. I love that story. Yeah. And it really is just about honoring your damn self, right? And I also think about like, I hate it when somebody has really bad boundaries and says yes to something they don't want to when it involves me. I don't feel good taking advantage of a friend or
right.
feeling that weird energy where it's like, why is this person in such a bad mood? They said they would do it. You know, it's like, be honest with me. I can handle it. I'm a big girl. So it really just doesn't serve anybody.
There's something else I've learned along the way. You're one of the people that taught me this too about boundaries is your outgoing boundaries. And I'm a people pleaser. I definitely want to help people. I feel joy. And I know you do too. You just said it. I like to get me some good results, right? When you know that people that are listening to you, that you're working with are living better or happier, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But unsolicited, this was a classic line someone said a while ago, unsolicited advice is criticism. And this is one of the things you talk about in Badass Habits, that even though you might mean well, watch your own boundaries when you want to try to fix people, make everything better if they haven't asked for help, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. And that comes under the controlling boundary that I was talking about. Like it's none of your business. First of all, you can't control other people. Believe me, I tried for many years. You cannot do it. So, and all it does is, again, put everybody in a bad mood. Nobody likes being controlled, and you're going to be frustrated because you literally can't do it. So it's a lose-lose. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, we're all doing the best we can. A lot of people are very controlling because they, you know, for example, had really insecure childhoods where their parents were never around and they had to like get some control of their environment. And there's all, you know, there's all sorts of underlying reasons why we do it. So it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you need to be aware of what's going on and make different choices. So, you know, if that sounds like you, where you really need to fix people and fix things. And again, it's exhausting because it's not going to work. And, you know, save that energy for yourself, something that you can control.
Jen, this is John again, and I have a question for you, and I just want you to tell me if you think I'm amazingly awesome or just mildly awesome for doing
agent.
So one of the things I've learned personally about boundaries is I used to, like, so let's say, for example, I don't care whether it's your mother or friend or whatever, does something to trigger you. Like one of the things my mother used to do, and I love my mother, Mom, if you're listening, is,
oh, yeah,
you know,
her mom's awesome.
She'd bark an order at me about something that really had nothing to do. Like it could have to do with my career or whatever. She'd bark an order and I would immediately snap back and bark back louder. But then one day I decided, why am I doing that? I'll let her bark and I'll go off and do my nails, or I will go and watch a Hallmark movie or whatever. And so I stopped doing that. And lo and behold, our life became better because she can bark, I can ignore it, and it doesn't bother me anymore. And that was just the simplest shift I could have done.
Okay. What were my choices? Extremely awesome or kind of awesome? No.
Amazingly awesome.
Amazingly. Okay. You are amazing. Amazingly awesome. Because not taking things personally is so highly evolved. Not taking things personally from your mother is like beyond. That's like guru stance. Because you know what? Like think about it. Like a person can do something to you and it can bug you. Your mother can do the same thing to you and it'll like have you waking up in the middle of the night screaming. So it's amazing how our parents get under our skin. Yeah. So and then there you go. Like she gets to do her, you get to do you. And it's not about you. It's about her need to control.
And the best part is, Jen, is that she was able to discover, you know, the salve of a Hallmark movie.
Exactly.
I mean, that cures all, for God's sake.
Jen, I want to read one sentence from this topic in your book, and then I want to talk a little bit more broader because it's not just setting boundaries, it's about habit forming. You say, when you say no to the needs of others, you're being nice to yourself, not mean to them. That's profound.
It's all about reframing stuff, right? So,
yeah,
you know, that your whole life you can be thinking, I don't want to be mean. I want people to like me. Nah, nah, nah. But we don't care if we like ourselves. We don't care if we're mean to ourselves. I mean, it's kind of sad. So, yeah, it's all about mindset. You know, it always comes down to mindset. So once you lock that one in, you can really change what's going on the outside.
So help us better understand, Jen, your book title is Badass Habits, Cultivate the Confidence, Boundaries, and Know-How to Upgrade Your Life. Help us better understand our habits and how we can, because I think some of them we're aware of, some of them we're not. And you say awareness is the first step, but what if we're aware of them and then we keep failing ourselves because we know we want to do better, can do better,
right?
Tell us how to do better and change, because it is our daily habits. It is the little things we do consistently that really shape our lives, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to just point out, because I don't think a lot of people talk about this, but thoughts and beliefs and words are also habits. So we tend to really focus on what we do every day as a habit. But man, meanwhile, thoughts, beliefs, and words are driving the bus. So, and the thoughts, beliefs, and words that are habitual will, you know, determine what actions you take. So all the action habits that you've got are being determined by your thoughts, beliefs, and words. So that's, I really start with that, with getting a handle on that. So I'll just give you an example in my life of a habit that was really hard for me to quit, which was smoking. I love smoking. I'm going to start again when I'm 85. I'm so excited. It's like giving me an excuse to stay healthy until then. But, so I tried and tried a million times, failed, blah, blah, blah. When I finally quit for the final time, and I haven't touched a cigarette in like 20 or 30 years, was I shifted my identity. And I really hammered this one in the book. It wasn't just about throwing away the cigarettes, you know, not hanging out with other smokers as much. You know, I stopped drinking for a while because that was my, you know, big trigger, blah, blah, blah. So I took a lot of actions, which are hugely, hugely important. But what I also did was I shifted my identity and I started identifying as somebody who was healthy, who took really good care of her body, who loved smelling great. You know, I didn't even enter smoking into the picture. I was not an ex-smoker. I was somebody who was healthy. And the reason this is really important is because what you focus on, you create, right? So if I'm an ex-smoker, I'm still hooked. So that's when I would get into the negotiations. An ex-smoker is somebody who would be like, well, I can just have a drag, or well, what's the big deal? One cigarette. I didn't even get into the negotiations because I was a healthy person any more than I would have negotiated, well, I'll just drink a bottle of vodka for breakfast. That's not even in my on my radar because it's not who I am. So identity is huge when it comes to habits.
And how did you shift that within yourself? That is, it's big and it can have a massive effect. Did you just keep saying, now what would a healthy person do here? What would a healthy person say? Was it just that awareness of what you were thinking, what you were doing?
You know, I wasn't honestly, I didn't have the tools to break it down like that. The big thing for me was not allowing myself to enter into the negotiation at all. So I was doing it sort of obliviously, but I remember just thinking like, I cannot negotiate. Like the second I'm like, oh, I'd love a cigarette, I literally turn my back on it. And I don't even get into the like, well, could I? Why am I being such a hard ass on myself about not smoking? Like I would not get into the negotiation at all. I would just turn my back on it. So that I, without my knowledge, I was identifying as somebody who didn't register the thoughts of cigarettes.
Jen, that's almost, I don't know if that could be a whole other book, but the subject of willpower, because I lost 20 pounds or 25 pounds a couple of years ago. And I remember how painful, when I was making that shift from a person who loved to have dinner twice in one night, you know, once at 5 and once at 9, I shifted to a person who, like, it's very easy for me not to put food in my pie hole now. But that transition was so hard until I finally turned a corner. And I think that's what a lot of people struggle with when they're creating a new habit or getting out of a bad habit. That little window, that abyss, can be horribly painful, but you got to get through it.
Yes, but the abyss of the back and forth and the constantly failing at the same thing over and over is more painful, in my opinion. And that's kind of where I got to. I was like, I don't want to quit smoking again. Like, it's such a pain in the ass and I hate it. So I was like, I just was not available to fail. And it really, you know, it really, I mean, everything really is mindset. So that negotiation process, I write a lot about that in Badass Habits too, is about that negotiation thing. It's huge. And for me, that was kind of the miracle tip that got me through.
Love it. I just wrote down not available to fail. And I'm going to put that on my mirror. Yeah.
you're amazing, Jen.
Thank you.
So what else? What else is a key point within Badass Habits that would be important for someone listening right now that you'd be happy if they took away?
Oh gosh, there's, you know, it's interesting. I think that different people are going to really resonate with different tips of the 21-day tip. So, but you know, for me, the not negotiating was huge. I'm a huge believer in something I call chunking it down. Overwhelm is the number one killer of any dream or goal, without a doubt. So, you know, when it comes to, let's say you want to start meditating every day. And so you set your room up and you set your timer for 30 minutes. And within the first 5 minutes, you're like up and walking around and feeling like a big fat loser. So chunking it down is you start meditating for 4 minutes every day. You know, you just put it in and then you raise it a minute as the weeks go by, whatever it is. But out of the gate, this is also why I think people really fail at their New Year's resolutions, is because you take on way too much in the beginning. Yes. You're all fired up and the novelty and the willpower is all there. And then inevitably a month later, it's over. So chunking it down is the key, is just putting it in manageable pieces, because overwhelm will squash you.
And I love that advice so much. And it's contrary to what so many of us do January 1st. And and then by January 31st, we failed ourselves again. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, many people. But that advice of do something small and do it consistently so that you convince yourself you're the type of person that does it.
Exactly.
You're the type of person that works out on a regular basis.
Exactly.
How little it is. Right. You do 3 push-ups a day. I work out every day. And
exactly.
Then you change your identity and then the behavior follows.
Oh my God, you get an A+ in badass habits. A+.
Oh, of course you do.
Now John is going to be pissed.
fight.
I'll give you, oh, we do that. Good. But we love each other. I'll give an example. I bought a Peloton bike a number of years ago, rode a few times, a couple scenic routes through Paris and wherever. And then it sat and collected dust for a very long time. And then this coming January, 2 years, I just said, I'm going to work out every week. And so what if it's a 15-minute ride? So what if it's only a 20-minute ride? So what if it's a beginner ride? And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, I've got 3 weeks in a row. I've got 10 weeks in a row.
Right.
I've got 32 weeks in a row. I'm at 101 weeks in a row.
You're going to make me cry over here. I'm so proud of you.
Where I'm working out every week. Now, some weeks I'm killing it. Like yesterday I did 12 miles in one ride. Some weeks I'm doing one short ride. But I'm a person who for almost 2 years in a row has been working out every week. And that has become who I am now.
Yep.
And I don't want to break that.
Yeah. And that's it. So you get into the habit of the habit and that changes your identity. And that's how we roll.
Then the habit's easy. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. And ease. There you go.
It becomes who you are.
Difficulty. Yeah. That's another super like no duh, but like make it easy and make it hard. Like make it hard to smoke, make it easy to work out, leave your workout clothes at the end of your bed, put the bike, you know, in a room that you like to be in, you know, have an accountability buddy, like anything that you can do to make it easy is a really amazing tip. Another thing that I love that has really changed my life is I live in the desert and you need to drink just bathtubs full of water every day to survive out here. And so I've started doing what I call mooching off another habit. So I am unauthorized to have coffee in the morning until I drink 2 big things of water every day. Like every day when I first wake up, I hydrate or I can't have coffee. And it's just easy. It's become, I don't even think about it. And so if you have an already existing good habit, tacking on another habit onto that is a really helpful, easy way to get stuff done.
Jen, you are always so full.
I do that with my wine and my vitamins. I can't
drink your wine and your vitamins.
Whatever works, right, girls? Whatever works.
Oh, you can't have your wine until you take your supplements.
That's hilarious.
Jonna, you're such a rock star. Gosh. Oh, Jen Sincero, we love you so much. We're so thrilled to have you back on the show. We're wrapping up here with Jen Sincero and talking about her book, her latest book, which has just been released in paperback called Badass Habits, Cultivate the Confidence, Boundaries, and Know-How to Upgrade Your Life. You're going to love her style. Her insights are powerful. Warm, funny. You can apply what she teaches you right away. Jen, where can people get your book, learn more about you, follow you, so on?
They can go to youareabadass.com or jensincero.com. They both go to my website.
Okay. And you're on the social media thing. You're on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I know. My niece is like, your social media sucks. You could have so many more followers. I always forget about it. Yes, I'm on Instagram as Jen Sincero. I'm on Facebook as The Jen Sincero. And I'm on Twitter as Jen Sincero.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, Jen, thank you so much. And congratulations on your continued success and getting you some good results for people.
Oh, thank you so much. This was a blast as always.
Yes, Jen, thank you very much. And happy holidays. Sorry, Jonna.
Yeah, you too. Yep.
All right, we will be back. We've got one more segment still to go this morning here with Happy Hour. Jonna Spilbore, Carol Pesci will return with myself. And again, thank you so much, Jen Sincero.
Thank you.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Boom, boom, boom.
Jonna with the mic drop. Nice. I can just see you too with that arm held out and you've got those pursed lips. Boom.
Yep. One hip is off to the side a little.
That's right.
That's right. I was going to punctuate it with, and I almost brought this out during the interview. Carol, you probably will remember years ago when we first interviewed Jen Sincero, which, by the way, fantastic interview we just had with Jen Sincero, author of the Badass series. You bought me a badass, what do you call these things? One of those buttons that you press.
Yeah.
And that's something. So I had it all these years and I grabbed it while we were in the interview because I was going to just randomly press it. Yep. But I randomly pressed it and here's what I got. Ready, you guys? Listen, ready? Can you hear that?
You need new battery?
Dead. Oh. Sad little badass button.
Yeah, it's her voice.
Yes.
It's so good.
Hang on. Stand
you
by.
Your Let's battery's got to be dead too.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Apparently not working. All right.
That was anticlimactic.
It was actually. Yes. I'm most disappointed now.
Oh man. So it was very fun to talk to Jen again. She's always full of good energy and good insight and love having her.
She's just somebody you want to be friends with. So and she does have a New York connection. So that's good.
Yeah. Her mom lives in Tarrytown or she grew up in Tarrytown, I think. Yeah. So not too far from here.
Yeah, so we got another local connection, like our third week in a row.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Speaking of local, I don't want to wrap up today without giving a shout out to not just Jeannie Kelly, who we mentioned our good friend in almost every show, but to Jeannie Kelly's mom, who is on the mend. So we want to send her some love and good wishes and to our friend Jeannie, because it's been a stressful haul when someone we love is not feeling well. We know how difficult that is. So she's on the mend and want to give a shout out there.
Yes. And send collective good vibes.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed.
From the three agents.
Yes. That's right. It's no longer going to be happy hour. It's going to be happy idiot hour.
Oh yeah. One of whom might be wearing a pair of Branties.
Oh, you know what? Oh, hey. Okay. Now it's happening.
Take off the x-ray glasses there, Miss Pesty.
No, I'm buying them. I'm buying them. And I hope they get here by Christmas because you're getting a pair.
No. And then you're going to get them back next Christmas. Here we go again.
There you go. Some things need to be revisited. Yes.
All right, we gotta go.
All right. We'll think of new traditions that involve undergarments, and we'll take that to next week. For Jonas Billboard, for Carol Pesci, I'm Frankenberry, and thank you so much for tuning in today. Thanks again to Jen Sincero for joining us, and we've got more Happy Hour coming your way next Sunday. So just stick around. Until then, have a good and a safe week. Take care.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Billboard and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.